720 WGN, the team's flagship radio station.
You're listening to White Sox Weekly on the home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
5:06. Hope you're having a great Saturday. My name is Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. It's White Sox Weekly till the bottom of the hour. Andy Mazur has your pregame show at 5:35 as the White Sox get ready to take on the Texas Rangers game 3 of the 4-game set. Nick Hostetler, the White Sox director of scouting, with us, one of my favorite people to talk to. Nick, welcome back to WGN. It's a busy time for you. The draft right around the corner, and I figured you'd just tell everybody who the White Sox are picking today. I mean, June 4th's right here. You might as well just put it out there.
Might as well. I'll just go home then, right? I'll give Mark and Harry, I'll give you guys what I'm thinking, and we can just send it in and just sit back and kick our feet up.
do you think you have a way that you know it will go with the top three, or is it kind of, well, we really don't know what's going to happen in front of us?
We've got a pretty good idea, I think, at this point. I spent the night last night with one of the games I was at with a couple of the people that are picking in front of us, their scouting director and one of their GMs, and we talked a little bit. You know, they're not going to give you anything hard that you think is 100% accurate, but they'll drop hints there, here or there. And, you know, look, we're all friends in this. We all kind of take care of each other. You know, the last thing we want to do is lie to each other and do something like that. So there's a chance we all end up working with each other at some point. We're going to need each other. But, you know, we kind of talk back and forth. I got a pretty good idea how it's going to go and who's going to be there when we pick it for.
That's so friendly. Look at that. Like the Tigers, the Giants, and the Phillies, just all, hey, like, we're going to take him. Oh, so that means that we're going to go there, and then you're going to go here.
Yeah, but that night, Nick's going to be like that SOB.
There's no question there is. Yeah, it'll all change. About 2 hours before the draft, you'll start hearing a bunch of rumors, and you start freaking out and coming up with plan B and C, and then it all comes back to where you thought it would be about 2 weeks before the draft.
Now, the White Sox have been on sort of a college roll with the draft lately, and I know that you were directly involved with Rodon and with Carson Fulmer. Is your philosophy best player? Do you lean towards a high school talent, towards a college talent? How do you approach that?
You know, when you're picking this high in the draft to pick 4, one of the last things you're going to do is draft for any sort of need, any sort of you know, the thing that maybe you feel that your organization needs at that point. But best player available can be defined in so many different ways. You know, I think the better term for what we try to do is the best fit for our organization. And not necessarily as far as position. It may mean just how the guy's tools play, what type of arm action a pitcher may have, what type of swing a hitter may have, the ceiling that they may have, the floor that they may have. You know, you've got to find the right fit for your organization. And I think I liken it a little bit to the NFL with some of the guys in the schemes that some of the defenses run that, you know, they might not be perfect fits for some of the NFL teams. And that's kind of the way it is for us. There's certain guys that are going to be better fits for better organizations. And that's kind of how we look at it. We're going to take the guy that we feel best fits our organization and our development strengths.
Let's roll through the minor leagues here, Nick. So we have you on until 8 o'clock tonight. We're actually not going to broadcast the game. Go through all your.
You're gonna have a lot of listeners log off and stop listening to me by then. I can promise you that.
That's okay. Me and Harry are locked in. That's all that really matters. All right. Here, so Dane Dunning gets the bump up to Double A. Last night he wasn't his best night. 4 innings, 6 hits, 5 runs. We'll get to the outstanding performance from Michael Kopech and Dylan Cease last night in a second. But what was Dane doing so well at Winston-Salem that you guys saw it and are like, you know what, he's ready to go up to Double A?
You know, I'll be honest with you, and I'll start off by saying this, just full disclosure here, I have not spent too much time watching many of our minor leaguers of late, just because, as you guys could probably expect, I've been fully focused on the draft, and
yeah,
with that coming close, it's important that I do that. But Getsy and I talk often, Jeremy Haber and I talk often, so I've got a pretty good handle on what's going on. But, you know, Dane has been, and he started out in Winston-Salem, similar to the way he did at Kannapolis last year, pounding the strike zone, showing 4-plus pitches, competing and doing those things at Winston. Getsy and Rick and Jeremy had the idea of starting him out similar to what we did last year at Kannapolis and giving him some chance at Winston-Salem to have some success. And he did that and moved up to Double A, had a couple good starts. And like, as you said, last night wasn't his best, but The one thing about Dane Dunning is usually those types of things, they don't bug him at all. He kind of lets it just roll off his back, and I'm pretty confident the next time he takes the ball, you'll see a pretty solid outing out of him.
Let me jump back to just a draft question here, and I'm super excited to see Dane in person one of these days this summer, along with a bunch of other players. Okay, you have the fourth pick in the draft, Nick, and you have the sixth highest bonus pool, which is a little over $10.5 million. Can you explain just to the standard baseball fan this bonus pool and how it works, and if you overdraft players or underdraft players, and how you have to work that money?
Yeah, it's a it's something that we actually have two people assigned. Dan Fabian is one of them that is assigned to nothing but paying attention to making sure that I don't spend too much money and get Mr. Reinsdorf angry at me. So we try to make sure we keep under the threshold of what we're allowed to spend. There's obviously penalties if you go over up to 4.9%. You have to pay a tax. After that, you have to forfeit a pick. But you've got to be careful how you manage your bonus pool. You know, I've said it a few times now that while picking high is obviously something that, you know, we're going to get a good player out of, having a huge bonus pool is probably more conducive to having successful drafts than even where you're picking. Some of these teams like Kansas City, I think Tampa, they have pretty large bonus pools with the extra picks. And being able to manipulate and maneuver your money essentially gives you an opportunity to add multiple impact-type players in the draft. So, you know, you may be able to take a player, let's say, at pick four, and you pay him under what the slot suggests. You can then redistribute that money throughout the rest of your draft as long as you don't go over your allotted pool for Major League Baseball. So it's something that we have, over the course of the last probably 4 or 5 years that it's been in place, we've used. We've overplayed the likes of Corey Zangari, Luis Curbelo, players like that we we valued higher than where we picked. So we were able to save money places and then redistribute it to players like that later in the draft.
And the reason you would do that is like, okay, this kid is most likely going to go to college, but we're going to draft him here in the sixth or seventh or whatever round. And hey, we're offering you way more money than you would ever get down here, and it would make it, perhaps make them change their mind. Is that the reason you would do that?
Similar to that, yeah. There's sometimes that is the process that goes through it. You know, a lot of these kids, and I'll openly say this, a lot of these high school kids, they're not ready to go out and play professional baseball. It is, at 18 years old, that's a big chunk of your life that you're giving up to go play professional baseball. And the ones that we do identify as ready, not only physically but mentally, to handle the rigors of it, we target and go after guys like those guys that had fell and slipped, and that we offered that money to. It's something that, you know, they may just want to go out. They may want to go play. They may be ready for it. And when they are ready for it, and we feel that, you know, their tools match up with what our valuations are and how much, at the time, how much money we're able to offer them, it's an opportunity, win-win for both. And I feel really confident that with those players I just mentioned and a couple of the other ones we did, that we've got some really good upside players. I think Curbelo is one of them you're going to hear from here in the near future when he finally gets up to Kannapolis, gets some at-bats under his belt. I think you're going to see why we liked him so much.
We're visiting with the man that will make the first pick for the White Sox on June 4th, and Nick Hostetler's ready to tell us, is it Joey Bart?
Yeah, the funny part about that is I got a text from one of our draft picks that we had a few years ago that asked me the same question. It's funny how the players that we just took are just as interested. They know all of these guys. So I've actually checked with a few of them on how they liked them, if they were teammates with them and stuff like that. So it's been good. Look, Joey's a special talent. There's no question about that. Whoever ends up getting him in the draft is going to be very pleased with his ability to not only catch and throw, but always the power he also has.
Yeah, he's a catcher for the Yellow Jackets. You know, basketball's down to 2 rounds. Football's down to 7 rounds. Baseball still has like 2,700 rounds of picking. How does that? I mean, you must have, you know, so many guys that are just under you. How is it possible to delegate and have all the information and still be able to make the final call?
Well, I'll say this, and I truly mean this. This isn't just blowing smoke. I have one of the best staffs and support systems that you could ask for as a scouting director. My two national guys, Mike Shirley and Nathan Durst, are out of this world. They're some of the best in the game. My regional cross-checkers are outstanding as well as our area guys. And, you know, for me, they're really easy to have confidence in. You know, I know that they can evaluate. I know they work hard. I know they spend as many nights as I do on the road away from their wives and kids, and that makes it difficult for all of us. But at the same time, I really trust those guys, and we're all in this together. We're friends, and, you know, you care about each other. So I know they're out there working hard, and yeah, it's a little bit difficult sometimes to you know, take your hands off the steering wheel and let guys do their jobs, but you really got to trust them. And I'll be honest, that's one of the things that I had a tough time doing my first couple of years as a director, is just letting guys do their jobs, not micromanaging, not, you know, trying to hover and tell them how they should feel about a player, and let them make up their own mind. And then, you know, I'll follow them in, get an evaluation, and we'll go from there. But it is a daunting task running through 40 rounds. And I think this year we have 906 players that are turned in by our scouts for the draft. So going through all of that paperwork, going through, you know, I could sit here and talk for an hour on the people that contribute to this, that means so much to let us have the ability to make these picks. And they truly are the ones that you know, help me and lets me just focus on making the actual pick.
So your Midwest cross checker, Nick, is Garrett Guest. Is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. And so then you mentioned your national guys, Mike Shirley and Nathan Durst. So I got Guest, Shirley, Durst all in a room. Who wins that argument on a player?
That's a good one. They're so different. Their personalities are so different. Garrett's father owns South Oak Dodge. I know I gave a little plug there. But he's got a little used car salesman in him. So I get that. And Mike is a coach at heart and a developer. So I get a little bit of the coaching angle. And Nathan's kind of my quiet assassin. When Nathan gives me his opinion, it's usually straight to the point, and I know it's like there's not any appetizers or dessert with it. It's just the meat and potatoes. So, boy, that, you know what, I'd have to say that's a tough call. The good part is they're all three very close, so they usually tend to have similar opinions. I'm usually the tiebreaker in all of it, so I just skirted around that question
very well,
very good, without offending any of them, didn't I?
Yeah. Hey, before you go here, Carson Fulmer is a guy obviously that you care a lot about. You have a lot of faith in. What are you hoping for Carson as he goes down to AAA here and sort of finding himself and then getting back to the big leagues? What are you seeing as much as you've watched him?
You know, we're all human beings in this, and this is one thing that I've said over and over, is that the human element in this, sometimes the fans, even ourselves, we lose track of that. We lose the idea of that. You know, Carson is, like you said, an unbelievable kid, an unbelievable person, and you want nothing but success. But, you know, you watch him and you watch his struggles, and, you know, I think we all need to take a step back, and I think Aaron Rodgers said it best, the relax comment he made a few years back. But, you know, this kid is young, and a lot of these kids have never failed. You know, they come from the best colleges in the country, the best high schools in the country, where they have been the man. They dominate. And so when they get to the big leagues, and that's what development is about. You know, you get to the big leagues and you fail, and you see how you react to that. The big thing here for Carson is going to be how he reacts to the failure, how he bounces back. Is he able to control the emotional part of it? And really put his best foot forward as far from a physical tools part of it. We have no question that the makeup is tremendous, and he has his desire and passion to win and be the best is there. It's just a matter of him understanding and learning how to harness his emotions, understand how to use them in his favor, and not let them become a detriment to what he's trying to do on the mound.
So when you go out to dinner, like with your wife and friends, is there pressure on you to get the wine right? Because, like, if you can pick out of 900 players, you should be able to pick out of 30 bottles of wine.
Yeah, Nick.
I'm not a wine drinker, so that helps. My wife is. I am not. You know what's funny is, and she will admit this, and I don't know if she's listening or not, but she will admit this wholeheartedly, I hate making decisions. I hate choosing where we eat. I hate choosing where we eat. I hate choosing the what we're eating, when we're eating. We argue about it constantly. I always go back, hey, I have to make decisions every day in my job. The last thing I want to do is make another one when I'm home. So we argue with it and usually put it off on either my daughters, Kayla or Lacey, or my son, Andrew. They usually are the ones that have to make the call on it.
I am following Lacey's volleyball via your Twitter, Nick, just so you know. Congrats on her success. It's awesome how supportive you are as a dad. If you're doing that on Twitter, it's got to be a lot more in person actually being the dad. But it's cool to see that you put that stuff out there. And thank you, by the way, for joining us for the record.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys. I'm actually going to leave here a game I'm at and drive to try to see my oldest daughter, Kayla, play tomorrow in the morning and get back home for a day. But I appreciate it. Love being on with you guys, Mark and Harry. I appreciate all the kind words. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, Nick. Best of luck with the draft. Appreciate you.
Thank you.